Ramsey TV.
I got to tell you, I at first thought that this mugshot back here of Frank Sinatra was real. But then as I analyzed it, as I ran it through all my filters, I have determined that it could be real, but it's probably fake. Why? Well, one thing, I mean, look at the guy. He's just too dang good looking. Who looks this good when they're being booked at the police station for a crime? And then I noticed this. This was ostensibly taken in Hoboken, New Jersey. You look down here at the bottom, and his crime is seduction. Yes, that told me that this was a joke. Seduction. Yeah, look at that. I mean, his hair was perfect, just like the werewolf in the Werewolves of London, drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. Look at that. Look at Frank. He's got the hair, the little shock of hair. I try to get that over here, but I can't quite make it happen in the Sinatra way, but I can try. We have actually either three or four differences that Ruth in Mongolia has found on the two evangels. Now, I think I'm going to, unless my smartest audience, the smartest audience on YouTube, on the internet, unless you come up with like a dozen more differences, I will move on next week, and I will do, you with me, my moral support, standalone shows with shocking topics that the titles won't be a stretch. It's not going to be fakery. It's not going to be, oh, here's some clickbait, and then Zender doesn't deliver in the body of the show. No. I will deliver in the body of the show. The title will be to the point. It will be shocking, yes, but it will be legit, and it will perfectly reflect the content of the show. I promise you that. So yesterday, our friend Ruth in Mongolia. And by the way, I want to greet all our international viewers. I am in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, United States of America. We have viewers all over the world. I should find out just to tell you where they are. Suriname, Tasmania, Poland, the UK, Canada. I don't know if we have anybody in Mexico. I'm not sure. Brazil, Russia, oh yes, all over the place. I greet you all from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. Now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, it is not ours to wrestle with flesh and blood. Yet our friend Ruth has made us all aware that Israel does wrestle against flesh and blood. In fact, when Israel is on the earth, she is said to rule the earth with a rod of iron. She is wrestling with flesh and blood because the earth consists of flesh and blood human beings. Flesh and blood. There are mortals as well as immortals mingling on the regenerated earth during the millennium. Boy, talk about a dinner party. The mortals mingle with the immortals. Talk about class distinction. And yet the immortals will be so gracious, so pure, because they will be Israelites who have been regenerated, who had their heart of stone replaced with a heart of flesh. They will be very gracious, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, and Israel will wrestle with flesh and blood. The rod of iron is not a joke. That's why it's mentioned there, the rod of iron. It seems really incredible that this should be brought up. Like, wait a minute, I thought that the thousand years was heaven. I thought it was the perfect place, the perfect environment. It was a great shock to me when I found out as a young believer that the heaven, this so-called Jesus teaching on heaven, Jesus teaching on how to get to heaven, found out, no, he wasn't doing anything of the kind. He was teaching how to get into a kingdom that's going to be on earth. It's the kingdom of the heavens. It's heavenly in character, but its location is old terra firma. And to find out that people still die during the kingdom, that even somebody who reaches the age of 100 will be considered a youth, and yet people will die. There's capital punishment. There are criminals whose corpses are tossed in the Valley of Gehenna. This is what Jesus warned the Israelites of in places like Mark chapter 3 when he says, pluck your eye out, take your hand off. Better to enter the kingdom blind or maimed than to enter the Gehenna of fire. The Gehenna of fire was a depository, will be a depository, a crematorium, if you will, to discard of the corpses of criminals. It's a practical thing. Again, so many times where people think the scripture is mystical, mysterious, unknowable, it's simply practical. You got to get rid of the bodies to make room for new ones. And the worms that shall never die, no, it says they will not die until they're not needed, at which time they will die en masse. But the worms are needed to decompose the bodies. Totally practical. What are these worms doing in there, Martin? The worms bother me. Why did Jesus have to talk about the worms, the unquenchable fire? Well, it's all practical, my dear. All practical. So, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness. Now, I'm not saying that Israel does not wrestle against principalities, powers of darkness, but these powers are presented and manifesting themselves as flesh and blood human beings. Oh, the reason I was talking about mortals and immortals mingling on the regenerated earth is that the mortals will, I believe, still be flesh and blood. The immortals probably will not have blood. I get that from when Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, appeared to his disciples in the upper room. They thought he was a ghost. And he said, there's a ghost. Eat fish. So he said, does a spirit, does a ghost have flesh and bone as you see me having flesh and bone? He said flesh and bone. He did not say blood. There was a reason for that. That rotten Roman soldier pierced his heart with a lance and all his blood came out. That was also practical because he needed to be rid of his blood because, as I've told you, the blood is the corrupting factor in humanity. We will not have any blood. Blood is also the carrier of pain. We hurt because of blood. The soul is in the blood. I believe it says in Leviticus. I know it says that. I just think it's in Leviticus. The common misconception is that the spirit is in the blood. No. Or the, what's the common saying? The soul is in the, it's the soul. It's the soul. The soul is your feelings. See, I can't even think of the wrong verse. I'm just not used to thinking of things wrongly. We wrestle with flesh and, Israel wrestles with flesh and blood. We do not. And they also do it in this life. Oh, this is a good point Ruth makes. Okay. I was talking about in 1,000 years, Israel is going to rule with a rod of iron, and they're dealing with flesh and blood people. The nations, the majority of them who have come through the tribulation, and remember, they're going to be procreating. These are people who are not immortals. They just happen to survive, and they got through the locusts. They got through the scorching of the sun. They got through the rivers turned to blood. They got through the heavenly body absinthe that came down and fouled the fresh water. They survived that somehow. And so they are, should I say it this way? They're, how shall we say, corralled. They're controlled. Lovingly, warmly, beautifully. And yet, there's where the rod of iron comes in. They're kept in line. And this makes them happy, just like your children when you discipline them. I would not discipline them with a rod of iron. I would recommend something closer to, you know, bamboo. Now, I do believe in corporal discipline for children. Exercise out of love. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Don't use a rod of iron. It's overkill. Okay, but a rod of iron is needed to shepherd the nations, dealing with flesh and blood. Now, Israel, even today, those who want to be Israelites, those who think Israel, the Christian world, they're constantly wrestling against flesh and blood with their own flesh and blood. They are obsessed with flesh and blood, not only with the flesh and blood of other people around them, because they want to bring them into the same deception there, and they want to make disciples of all the nations ahead of time. It's not time for that yet. The Great Commission, no, the Great Commission hasn't even started yet. They want to do all that, so they are very flesh and blood oriented. This is an Israel thing. Israel's all about blood and flesh. I guess that's the order Paul puts it in, blood and flesh. Israel's all about it. Not only in the 1,000 years when they're ruling with a rod of iron, not bamboo, but even now when they are wrestling against their own proclivities, their own flesh, their own sin. That is a great difference. And their gospel is presented to them as that very thing. If you go back to the Old Covenant, God brought the law to Moses. He basically set out a program where if you do this, I'll be pleased. If you don't do this, I'll be displeased. If you do this, things will go well for you. If you don't do this, your women will miscarry and your children will disobey you, and they will be on their cell phones all day. You will send them to their rooms. They will refuse to go, and then they will sue you, and you won't be able to do anything about it. That's a curse, scourge of society, that would be. And so it was presented. The circumcision gospel was, as if then propositions, dealing with flesh and blood. Look at us now. Compare it with the body of Christ. Paul states that even now, no, listen to this. Even now, we don't deal with flesh and blood. Now, we know that when we are taken to our celestial home, we're not dealing with blood and flesh. That's obvious, because we are going to reconcile celestial beings to God. And the celestial beings are even now learning of the multifarious wisdom of God through the ecclesia, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3. And in the oncoming eons, Ephesians chapter 2, 7, 8, 9, we will be displaying the transcendent grace of God. He will be displaying it through us. To whom? To the celestial world. The celestial world is not the farthest thing from blood and flesh. We're talking about spiritual beings. We're talking about inherently immortal beings. And we are going to be ministering to them. That's obviously not flesh and blood. We don't deal with that. So that is our expectation. That's what we're coming into. And Israel is coming into their expectation, and it's still flesh and blood. They're still corralling the nations who would probably rebel at a moment if it weren't for that rod of iron. Hey, what do you say we rebelled in that? Well, there's a rod of iron right over there. What are you, crazy? There's one of the 144,000 standing guard outside of our house. That's a pretty big stick, and I think it's made of iron. What do you mean? Toe the line, bide your time. And indeed, Satan will be loosed from his jail and will deceive the nations. God will relax the rod of iron. But even now, we are not to wrestle against flesh and blood. Even now, we don't wrestle against ourselves as Israel does, as Christians do. We have no longer, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, no longer consider yourselves according to flesh. No longer consider yourself in accord with blood and flesh. I know you still have it, but we're not to look at ourselves like that anymore. We are to consider ourselves to have died with Christ, been crucified with Christ, and been roused together with Him. And so, not only do we not deal with our fellow men and women according to blood and flesh, we don't deal with ourselves. And yes, when your fellow humans come after you, these mean people who try to cut you down, criticize you, lie about you, we have to look through that. That's what Paul means when he says, don't consider anyone according to blood and flesh. We don't wrestle against blood and flesh, but against principalities and powers of darkness among the celestials, because they are attacking us now, because they hate us, because they know we're going to usurp their place of power. So they're coming at us, but they're using flesh and blood people as pawns. Anybody that comes after you, it's a pawn of the celestial powers, and you need to look through them to the source, and then to the intermediate source, that is the evil celestial world. And once you get to that, you look behind that to the ultimate source, which is God. And we have more, even more, from Ruth of Mongolia. Not sure if it's inner or outer Mongolia. Look, go to Mongolia, look around the whole place, you'll find it.